After more than 27 years in the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Stephen Breyer is planning to retire at the end of this term. Breyer is one of the court's three liberal justices. He's 83 years old. His retirement means Biden gets to appoint his successor and maintain the court's 6-3 conservative majority. The two addressed reporters at the White House earlier today. Biden talked about his plans for the nomination.
While I've been studying candidates' backgrounds and writings, I've made no decision except one. The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first Black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court. It's long overdue, in my view.
The news came out just as a new national poll from Marquette University Law School was coming out. It asked people how they felt about the Supreme Court, including Justice Breyer. It also got into issues like abortion, the Biden administration's performance, Congress, the 2024 presidential race, COVID-19 and vaccinations, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to Justice Breyer's resignation? What are you looking for in a replacement from President Biden? How do you feel about the current makeup of the court? Should justices declare their views on specific cases when they're getting confirmed? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll get into some non-court related results in a little bit. Charles Franklin is professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's the co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Well, we didn't know this was coming yesterday. You didn't know when you're out in the field with the poll, but you looked back at some of your polling where you asked people what they knew, what they thought of Supreme Court justices. Justice Breyer does stand out in kind of a weird way.
Well, he stands out consistently as the least well-known justice. We've been doing these national polls about the court since 2019, and in every one of them that we've asked, he has been the least well-known. In this current poll this month, only 21% were able to say whether they had a favorable or unfavorable view of him. Now, among those with an opinion, 14% said favorable and 7% unfavorable. So a 2-1 favorability rating, but of just this tiny 1/5 of the public. I think part of this stands out because while Breyer has been consistently a member of the liberal wing of the court, people on the left have focused far more on Sonia Sotomayor or earlier Ruth Bader Ginsburg as someone they paid attention to, and both of those justices were much better known, Sotomayor by 50% of the public in this latest poll. And on the right, Clarence Thomas stands out as the best-known justice, and especially among folks to the right. So in these ways, you can kind of understand why Breyer would be little known. While he's this consistent liberal, he's not been the sort of focus of liberal attention, or for that matter, conservative opposition.
You know, stepping away from your poll for a moment, do you have thoughts on this 50-50 Senate majority? The Vice President, Kamala Harris, would be the tie-breaking vote, not filibusterable, if that's a word, under rules changes under former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. What are you looking at with the politics of this appointment?
Yeah, I think that it's likely that the Democrats hold together. While the Democrats have been split on some policy issues like the Build Back Better proposal, Democrats have been united in backing Biden's court appointments so far to other courts in the last year. So I expect that to hold together. I think a question would be if any of the Democrats have problems with the nominee, then that could produce real trouble. And secondly, it's a little unclear to what extent, if any, Republicans will try to delay a decision. I expect the confirmation to go through, but, you know, let's never say we know what the future is going to bring.
Now, these events, confirming a Supreme Court justice, very polarizing, at least in the Senate and the political world. When you polled Americans about what their views on the Supreme Court, did you find that kind of polarization reflected in any way?
Oh, we certainly do. We see it in approval of the job the court is doing. where approval has fallen from 66% approving back in 2020 before Justice Ginsburg's death to 60% this July, but then a sharp downturn to 49% in September, and it's slightly higher, 52% approving now. And not surprisingly, as with so many things, there's a bit of a partisan divide. 60% of Republicans approve, 45% of Democrats, with 52% of independents. So there is definitely a party divide there, and no doubt on a nominee and a confirmation hearing, we'll see sharp partisan divisions as well.
One of the big issues people are waiting for from the Supreme Court, a big case on abortion laws that could really potentially change things, could effectively overturn Roe versus Wade in the country. This is one of the issues you were polling people about, and you asked it a couple different ways, a couple different scenarios. What kind of things did you learn?
Yeah, and so it's complicated is the simple way to put it, because when we ask whether you would like to overturn Roe versus Wade, thus striking down the right to an abortion, only 28% of this national sample would like to see Roe struck down. 72% are opposed to striking it down. But the case that's before the court this spring is a Mississippi law establishing a ban on abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. That's about 9 weeks shorter than the current standard. But here the public is evenly divided. 49% would uphold that 15-week ban, and 51% would strike it down or oppose to it. Finally, Texas passed a law this summer, SB 8 it's called, which establishes a ban after effectively 6 weeks of pregnancy. And there, only 28% support that law, 72% are opposed to that law. So you see this sharp range from 72% support for maintaining Roe, but an even divide on a 15-week ban, but then 72% opposed to that 6-week Texas ban. So clearly with abortion, it matters a lot what the context is and what the limitations are that we're talking about in terms of whether the public supports or opposes those policies.
We're talking about the latest Marquette University Law School survey with Director Charles Franklin. We're going to move on to some other issues after the break, including how people around the country feel about President Biden's performance, about vaccinations, about whether former President Trump should run for re-election. We'll talk more about the retirement of Justice Stephen Breyer and the future of the Supreme Court tomorrow from 4 to 4:30. Right now, you could join us at 800-642-1234. Just listed a few of the topics. How do you feel about the job President Biden is doing? What do you want to see him do in his second year in office? Who would you like to see run for president, maybe on the Republican side in 2024? How big a threat do you think COVID-19 is to the nation, to your community? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about the latest Marquette University Law School survey. They polled people from around the country on the U.S. Supreme Court, the 2024 presidential race, President Biden's performance, Congress, COVID vaccinations, and more. Charles Franklin stays with us, professor of law and public policy at Marquette, director of the poll. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll ask you a couple of the questions they asked Americans. Who do you want to see run for president on the Republican side? Do you want to see former President Trump try for another term in 2024? Do you see COVID as a big risk in your community? Why or why not? What do you think of the performance of President Biden and or Congress? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. All right, just covered a lot of ground there, Charles. Let's start with the president's approval rating.
Yeah, that has fallen as it has steadily fallen in other polling since the summer. We have him down now at 46% approval. He was at 58% approval at the beginning of the summer. And so a pretty substantial decline. And that decline is across partisan groups. Most importantly, Biden has fallen by 13 points among Democrats since the summer, from 96 to 83. And he's fallen by 15 points among independents, from 57 to 42. Republicans have been below 20%, and it's bounced around but not really trended. So you can see that the Biden drop-off in job approval is really being driven in the Democratic and the independent categories, and to about the same extent in both of those. The other thing was support among black respondents fell from 88% in July, declining each month we did the poll, to now 57% approval in the January poll. Among Hispanic respondents, there's been very little change. And among white respondents, there was a drop by 10 points over the summer, but that's been stable in the late fall and now in January at just 40% approval.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jody joins us from Appleton. Jody, hi.
Hi. I have just wanted to say that I have voted Republican in the past and am just so tired of this Trump thing. If Republican Party supports him and he is back on, I will never vote Republican again.
Jody, thanks for the call. Charles, this is something you were asking people about. What did you find, especially amongst Republicans, or it sounds like Jody might be in that leans Republican Party. She didn't say she always voted Republican. What did you find when you asked them about the idea of former President Trump trying to be future President Trump?
Well, the first thing is that President Trump remains very popular among Republicans, and that needs to be appreciated. Of Republicans, 74% have a favorable view of him, 25% unfavorable. But also among Republicans, 63% would like him to run again, 37% would not. And I think that gap between 74% favorable but 63% wanting him to run again shows a little bit of the divide here within the party, not across parties, but in the party. Donald Trump remains a very popular figure in the party, but the appetite for him running again is a bit less. Now, if we had a primary today, he'd be the odds-on favorite to win it, I think, but there is some shifting, and I think the reason we're asking these questions now is to try to understand the potential divisions within the party, exactly like the caller had to say. Where are the splits inside the traditional Republican Party, and how are Republicans looking on potential other candidates for 2024?
You floated one potential candidate that people are talking about, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, I think kind of as a test case for a non-Trump candidate. What did you find when you polled Republicans for favorability and also then when you matched them up against President Biden?
Yeah, and in a matchup, in favorability, first of all, DeSantis is not nearly as well known as Trump at this point, but DeSantis gets a 52-11 favorable unfavorable among Republicans. With Trump, it's 74-25, so there's more. But that Republican favorability is a 5-1 ratio for DeSantis and a 3-1 ratio for Trump. So DeSantis has the potential to grow a lot more favorability there. When we match up against Biden for this same reason, we see that DeSantis gets 33 to Biden's 41. And Trump gets the same 33, and Biden goes up a shade to 43%. So DeSantis, even as little known as he is right now, is running at least as well against Biden as Trump is. And within the party, DeSantis would get 81% of the Republican vote versus Biden, and Trump would get 77% against Biden. So again, DeSantis running at least as well as Trump.
And, of course, it matters where votes are cast. This was a nationwide poll. Were you able to break down state by state?
No. We'll wait for the Wisconsin poll in a month or so to start looking here in Wisconsin.
You also asked people about their thoughts on COVID-19, whether they thought it was a threat in their community. What kind of things did you hear?
The thing that is so striking here is maybe not surprising, but concern has fluctuated, has ebbed and flowed with the actual spread of the virus. So in September, when we were still at the high water mark for the last wave, the Delta wave of COVID, 68% said it was a serious problem. In November, when that wave was gone or largely gone and Omicron had not started, the serious problem dropped from 68 to 50%. But now with Omicron at its peak at the time we were in the field last week, 69% said it was serious. So these numbers do track the movement of the virus. And if we break it down and look at it state by state, we see that within states, the seriousness, the perceived seriousness, rises and falls with actual cases.
And briefly, the partisan split on that, just in our last half a minute.
Yeah, we see a pretty big split. Republicans currently say it's a 45% say it's serious. Independents say it's 64% serious. Democrats, 91% serious. So quite a big problem or difference between them, even right now at the peak of the virus.
Charles, as always, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That's Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's the co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. And we talked to him today about the latest Marquette poll on national issues, including the U.S. Supreme Court, abortion, vaccinations, and the 2024 race for president.